Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
What is going on, everybody? It's your boy, Rance, aka Ray Cash, and I am bringing back one of my babies, one of my favorite projects and ideas I ever came, well, me and the Outsiders ever came up with, because this is my boy Carl's idea. We're bringing back the Total Package. And yes, normally this is me and my Outsiders OG brethren, Carl Irvin, the Outsider. However, I had to call in the experts this time. I had to call in some real on-the-ground, boots-on-the-ground expertise. I had to call in the man with the award-winning million-dollar beard, Little Guido himself. No, not Nunzio. Before his time, my boy DJ from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. My boy, what is going on? How you doing?
Mr. Cash, sir, been a good weekend, man. I've had a heck of a weekend. The only thing, I'll throw this out there real quick, because I know you just recorded the Bandwagon Nerds, and this is topical to that. Just found out my local comic shop, which is like a 10-minute drive away, had a meet and greet with Lou Ferrigno yesterday.
Out of line.
I find out, I was out and about yesterday. We went antiquing yesterday, and I was a 2-minute drive away from the comic shop. At this antique shop, and Lou Ferrigno was there. I was like, you mother ever.
I bet he's still huge too, man.
He looks good for his age. He's had some health issues over the last couple of years, but he still looks good for 70-something-year-old man.
Hey, man, if you bodybuild, but you do it the right way, then you end up looking good at that age. So shout out to him. So I don't know if you definitely weren't in Cherish at the time, but are you familiar? Did you listen to the original? This will be the third edition of the Total Package. Are you familiar with it before I hit you up about it?
Not at all, man. You hit me with this, and I'm like, all right, what are we getting into? So I went into this completely blind, which I think actually may make for better content.
Agreed. Completely agreed. So for you and for those of you listening who are not familiar with the Total Package, the idea behind it is Carl and I wanted to come up with a quantitative way, you get the point, to find out who is the best wrestler in the WWE. So we came up with a bunch of criteria. Initially, it was only 5, but we've expanded it since to 10. And from my vantage point, every great wrestler has to be great or excel in all 10 of these categories to be a really fully rounded wrestler, but the best wrestler in the game. So that the 10 categories are your look, self-explanatory, your ability to play a character, your in-ring ability. This is just the talent of your skills in the ring. And then we're going to delve in a little deeper to those skills and your specialty skills. Meaning, if you are a power wrestler, how good are you at power wrestling? If you're a high flyer, how good are you at being a high flyer, a technician, a brawler, a hardcore wrestler? Whatever your skill is that you're best at, how good are you in that realm? And then we're going to move to your finishing move. As you know, every great wrestler is a good finisher. 98% of the match can be great. The last match can go out like a fart in church. Nobody cares. Then we're going to move on to your microphone work. How good are you on the stick? How can you convey a story with your voice? Then we're going to go to one that is a these next two I really enjoy because they're very specific to the person actually thinking of the idea or thinking of what it is. But your presence, what is your presence in the wrestling world? How are you looked at upon from your peers, from your fans, from your detractors? What is your presence? Then that moves on to versatility. How versatile are you as a wrestler? Are you only good in this role? Can you not play the heel, but you're only a babyface? Can you not be a babyface, but you're only the heel? Can you only be a main event wrestler? Can you be on all facets of the card? You know, are you able to be in every situation possible and still excel? Then we have psychology, and that's the idea behind why you do something. Why am I doing this move at this time? Why am I saying this word at this time? Am I giving the perfect look when I need to give the look? Ring psychology and just the art of psychology in wrestling is probably the most important art of all of them. And then your last one is a bit of a new one. We're in a millennial world, a Gen Z world, actually, DJ. Your last one is your media presence. Nowadays, so many stories are built outside of television. So what are you like on the socials? Are you available? Are you around? Are you, if you're not a social person, are you on television shows? Are you in interviews? How are you getting your character over on your own without a push from the machine? Well, that's the 10 categories that Carl and I came up with initially to find who the perfect wrestler was. So what are your thoughts on those 10?
Some of them were pretty self-explanatory. Some of them I probably should have asked a bit more questions from you on because they probably would have affected my overall final score, like media presence. I interpreted media presence to be what would the media look at you like? Like, are you somebody who would go on the Tonight Show? Are you somebody who would be invited to be on an episode of, you know, NCIS or something like that, or just Hollywood looking at you for something outside the wrestling ring? That's how I interpreted that one. And then versatility, I kind of interpreted that more in the work inside the ropes, not necessarily relegated to can you be a heel, can you be a face, can you be a main eventer, can you be a mid-carder. It was more, can you adapt from being, if you're a technical guy, can you get in there and work with a high flyer or a lucha style? Or if you're a lucha style, how well do you transition over working to with a big power guy? That's mm-hmm. how I interpreted those things. So my scores may actually be a little lower based on my interpretation of some of your criteria.
Well, first off, you're not too far off. But when you say a little lower, when you guys hear the scores, I'm talking about a drastic difference. Some of these scores.
I'm going to explain where I was coming from when we get closer into it.
Okay. It's beautiful, beautiful. But still, it's going to be great. I'm extremely excited about this. I wanted it. I joked with you when you first gave me your scores for some of them, and I was like, oh my God. And your response to me was, did I go too low? And I told you immediately, absolutely, but it's perfect for the podcast.
Yes. So there was a method behind my madness.
Well, yeah, it's got to be, clearly.
I was looking at some of my scores before you and I got on here today. I was looking back at the list. I was like, well, maybe I could have been a little more, a little more friendly? Forgiving on some things.
Yeah, brother, it was rough, man. But nonetheless, so let's get down to the getting down. We're going to try to break this down into 4 episodes and talk about each brand, Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, and then we're going to do a top 10 total. So we're going to talk about Raw this week. And so I want to run off first and foremost our top 10 total, and then we'll break down our scores kind of individually.
Sure.
But in totality, coming in at number 10, as with both of our votes, was Rey Mysterio with an average of an 8.35. Logan Paul was number 9, also with an average of 8.35. Asuka was number 8 with 8.4. Surprisingly, Chad Gable was number 7 with 8.5. AJ Styles, we both had the same score for, actually, was number 6 with 8.5 as well. And then your top 10, which I think most people would probably agree with, would be number 5, Sami Zayn at 8.55. The World Heavyweight Champion, Gunther, at number 4 with 8.6. CM Punk at number 3 with 8.8. Rhea Ripley at number 2 with the 8.85. And Seth freaking Rollins tops off the list at number 1 for the Raw brand at a 9.1. So just off top, before you even look at anything else, if you're looking at the roster, does that feel right? Does it seem off? Is there somebody that screams that they should have been in the top 10 but aren't?
No, I think that lines up pretty well. When you look at it all, there's some people that are a little lower on the list that one may be able to make an argument. But I think that top 10 lines, yeah. I think it's in line.
I was saying
that top 10 lines up pretty well.
Yes, it does. We're going to leave that in live podcasting. My bad about that. So there were three that come to mind that I was a bit surprised didn't quite hit closer to the top. The first two, I think, don't have as good an argument as the last one. Io Sky and Bayley feel like they should be a little higher. Bayley has always been a jack of all trades, a master of none, but she's really good at everything. Io Sky is excellent at the things she's excellent at, but there is that language barrier that always hurts her.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to talk to me about Jey Uso. We can start with that on your scores, because you gave Jey Uso, if I'm reading correctly, a 77 total.
Let me find Jey Uso on my list. Yeah, man, Jey Uso is such a hard conversation. If you'd asked me, because where he took a hit for me, and before I get into this, let me break down how I tried to analyze this. I tried to put aside the one thing that the internet wrestling community always does, and that's infuse it with personal bias. If I infuse this with personal bias, all my numbers go up. If I try to look at this objectively from a booking standpoint or from a general broad fan standpoint, taking all things into consideration and myself as a worker, Jey Uso takes a hit on some things. In-ring ability, and here's the thing that's kind of a fluid answer for me. If you'd asked me 6-8 years ago, Jey Uso, I gave him a 6 in in-ring ability. 6-8 years ago, I'd have given him an 8. And this is just one of those things. I think as he and this happens with main eventers.
Yeah.
When they get the thing that draws the crowd, the one thing goes up, the other thing goes down. You take a Hogan. I'm going to compare Jey Uso to Hulk Hogan. You look at Hulk Hogan in Japan. You look at Hulk Hogan pre-WWE. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker was a workhorse. He gets to WWE. He hits the main event. Suddenly, he's got 3 moves, 4 on a good day. And that's okay. It's perfectly okay, but we have to look at the totality of it, and that's what I did. So his in-ring ability took a hit. Character ability, absolutely a 9. Specialty skills, I don't really know what Jey Uso's specialty is, because he's not really a high flyer. He's not a power guy. He's an okay ring technician. So there. And finishing move, he takes a hit simply because I'm tired of seeing a fucking spear. I'm tired of the spear, man. Jey Uso's better than taking Roman Reigns' finisher from him.
And I hate the Uso splash personally, so I'm with
you. I don't like the Uso splash either, so that was taking a hit for me. Microphone work, I think Jey Uso's a solid 8. Presence, solid 9. I mean, he hits in the areas that matter for being a main eventer. Unfortunately, his in-ring specialty skills and finishing move is what lowered his overall average for me.
I'm with you, man. It's a little disappointing because you kind of explained it perfectly. You have to separate your personal bias from thinking about it from a booking perspective. from an unbiased perspective, because Jey Uso is one of my favorite guys. I expected Jey Uso to be top 5 in this.
And that was a hard thing for me because there's a lot of people here that I absolutely love that I rated rather low objectively.
Anybody you want to touch on with that thought process?
Yeah, I'll say Zoe Stark. I'm a big fan of Zoe Stark. She is my lowest rated person on this list.
Yeah.
You know, I think in ring, Zoe Stark has all the tools. You know, but Zoe Stark is also unfortunately missing in some of the key areas. I don't know what her character is. I think giving her a 5 was generous.
Agreed.
You know, her media presence, I probably, understanding your criteria now for media presence, I probably would have given her maybe a 7 because she is active on socials. She is actively trying to further whatever feud she's in or whatever she's doing at the time online. So I probably would have rated her a little bit higher. But, you know, again, being objective, even though she is one of my sleeper favorites in the women's division,
yeah,
unfortunately, she rated the lowest.
Talk to me about your score with Dominic Mysterio. That one for me was the one that I probably took umbrage with the most on your list.
As far as too high or too low?
Way too low, man. 69. Dominic Mysterio, and I'm not trying to argue that he is by any stretch the most talented. But in terms of all the things that makes a wrestler good, I think he gets over on all of them in some form or fashion, personally.
You know what's crazy about this? Looking at it objectively, I agree with you. I'm going to try to explain my thought process here.
Sure.
I'm also the guy that will tell you Dominic Mysterio is a future main eventer.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming in the next 10 years. Dominic Mysterio is a main eventer. My issue was his look. He ain't. My boy needs to find a gym. he needs to find a gym. So okay, he lost on look. Character ability, I probably should have given him a 9, being fair. In ring, I thought I was being fair with a 7. Specialty, what is he? Is he a technical guy? Is he a high flyer? He's not a power guy. His finish move is not great. Like, what is his finisher? He does a frog splash. He does a 619. I still don't think he's found himself in terms of that.
Microphone, I gave him, is awful, by the way.
It's terrible. And I don't know whether it's intentional or whether he just can't do it.
I don't think he's too tall. He's too tall.
Yeah, he is too tall. That's absolutely it. Microphone work, I gave him an 8. Probably could have given him a 9 because he's really good, you know, when the time count. Presence, again, when I look at presence, I look at if you don't have an imposing size, like if I stack him up with somebody who's got a definite build or a definite size, he loses points there. Versatility, I probably should have given him an 8 because he's proven that he can work with anybody.
Yeah.
The dude can work with power guys. He can work with technical guys. He can work with lucha guys. So psychology, I think he's still learning that. Media presence, I don't see him online a whole lot. I think he really lost in the media presence for me.
So we quibble there because he's online a lot.
Okay, then maybe I just miss it.
And that's fine because it's more IG thing than Twitter, but that's fair. And Liv is doing a lot of the heavy lifting on that regard because Liv is always online. I don't disagree with your assessment and everything. I had a bit of a higher floor. Your point about his look and him being frail and need to get in the gym, 100%. But, and again, this is the beauty of this project is we perceive things differently. If I were to take every wrestler that's on the roster and think which one of them has the most unique look for a toy or an action figure, you're not getting 5 people before you get to Dominic. And I think that helps too. He has a distinctive look that is so unapologetically unilaterally him, whereas so many of these other guys are cookie cutter. They look all fairly the same. Like, you can never mistake Dominic. The way he looks, even wearing the full body Rey Mysterio gear with the shirt over his pants and the furry boots, it's like it's a cacophony of disgusting, but it works for a guy whose nickname is Dirty.
That mullet and that porn stash, he passes the airport test. You know, I can't disagree with you there. So, yeah, maybe on look, I should have given him an 8. And like I said, this is a fluid list. You come to me in 6 months, this list will be different for me.
Absolutely. And so I definitely want to try to, in a perfect world, do this yearly. I'm in talks to try to do an indie one, an AW one, and some other indie ones with some other people coming forward. I want to go to my list for a minute because while I definitely think you were too low in some regards, I could probably argue I was too high. For Seth Rollins, who was the number one guy for both of us, I gave Seth a 97, which means I thought I gave him 10s in 7 of the 10 categories.
I'm looking at that. Yeah, I'm looking at your numbers now.
Do you think clearly you think I'm off base, but do you think it's ridiculous to give him that many 10s?
Possibly. I think, now, this is a hard discussion for me because Seth Rollins is my boy. He is my single favorite wrestler in WWE. Of the last 10 to 12 years. I gave him an 8. It's a little egregious on my part. Character ability, I probably could have given him a 10. I gave out very few 10s, and that may be me. That may be a me thing.
But and for the record, I appreciate that because while I'm a little bit overgiving, I think 10s should be extremely hard to earn. I did look at things in a bit of a microcosm because I wasn't comparing Seth Rollins as a 10 to the entire roster. I was comparing Seth Rollins as a 10 to the people on Raw.
Right. Couple areas that I rated him low, I probably would have given him a 9. Versatility. Seth Rollins has proved he can go with anybody. I gave him an 8. That's probably incorrect. So let me look at your list again. Here, you gave Seth, where are we at here? Seth, where are you? 10 in-ring ability, specialty skills, finishing move. Yeah.
I love the curb stomp. It's one of my favorite
moves. I do too.
One of my favorite moves ever, man. And what I love about it is it's got that RKO diamond cutter appeal that you can hit it on anybody.
Yep. Yeah. it's hard for me to argue 10s here. Seth is a top 4 guy in the company. He really is, and he has been for a decade. So it's hard. I probably went in a little low. I mean, could I argue maybe one of your 10s, maybe bumping one or two of them down to a 9? Possibly, but I may have come in too low, especially for my guy. But again, I was trying to sweep personal bias off the table.
Yeah, same here, man. Same here. For the record, for those of you listening, there are absolutely wrestlers that we left off. I left off primarily tag teams. Like, for example, the New Day is not on here. And that's because while they may wrestle singles, and Kofi and Woods are absolutely two distinct personalities.
Yes.
I wanted to go with people that were primarily on their own. The only reason why, when you hear the next episode, the SmackDown episode, I got Dawkins and Ford, is because everybody and their mama think Montez Ford is going to be the next superstar. So I wanted to see, let's look at that right now and see if we can see that track, that trajectory. We'll get to that next episode. Biggest disappointments on your list. I can tell you right now, for me, the biggest disappointment was Lyra Valkyria. I think she's amazing in the ring. But for a woman who has a great entrance, that's probably one I should put on here. I should try to change one for entrance. But has a great entrance, is amazing in the ring, has a really, really good finisher, made history as the first women's intercontinental champion. I mean, I don't give a flying figgity about her, bro. And I hate that because I love her. But I see her and I just roll my eyes. Like, she's going to get a WrestleMania match with Bayley. As for fighting for the tag team titles against Liv and Raquel. And I'm disappointed that Lyra's in the match. So what's one of the wrestlers on here that you're disappointed with on the WWE sense? Not on our list, but on the WWE sense.
You know what? I'm going to have to line up with you on Lyra Valkyria. Because again, bell to bell, she delivers. The entrance is amazing. And I kind of feel bad here. She posted on the app formerly known as Twitter about 2 weeks ago. She's like, you know, I do all this work, years and years of work, to be called the Bird Lady. We have called her the Bird Lady on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. And I'm not saying she listens, but we are part of that crew. I don't get it. So I want to like her. I've tried. And like I said, when the bell rings, I like watching her as much as anybody else. I would rather watch Zoe Stark. And Zoe Stark has less of an established character. Like, let me go to the results here. Where did Lyra? I actually ranked Lyra slightly higher than Zoe, simply because I think she has a few more things, at least for the casual fan, than Zoe has. But on my personal tastes alone, I prefer Zoe Stark over Lyra Valkyria. And I hate that. I hate that, again, like you said, her music hits and I'm indifferent because she is good. I don't get it, you know?
So you can't be mad they call you the Bird Lady when you crafted your gimmick around the Raven Goddess.
Yes.
Ma'am. You come out with feathers and wings.
Yeah.
Ma'am. What are we doing? You literally have the crowd scream woohoo when you like these are bird sounds. I don't understand it. Okay, so I want you to pick three people that you see that you can forecast will move up in the next 6 months, and three people that you forecast will move down the next 6 months. Okay. I'll do the same, or we can go back and forth if you want. Would that be a little bit more fun?
Let's go back and forth. I'll do one, you do one.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, who do I see going up? Ludwig Kaiser. Let's go up first.
Oh, Tiffany Stratton's boyfriend. Hey, by the way, have I said this on there with you? In terms of the term swag, hey, that's the swaggiest dude in WWE, bro. That boy got so much swag.
I what did I say? I'm in a group thread with a bunch of other people. I said, that dude has the sluttiest male entrance of any dude on the roster, and I love him for it.
Well, yeah, I love it so much, bro. He's so good, dog.
He is. He's awesome.
I'll take your Ludwig Kaiser, and I will raise you a Penta.
Okay.
Can I tell you this? I am a big believer in Uncle Paul as a booker. I know there's some people are on the fence. I love him as a booker. I had the slightest bit of trepidation for Penta and Rey Fénix as singles in WWE. Not because I didn't think they could do it. Not because I didn't think they'd be pushed or handled well. But because they're, and I don't know what it is about that company, whatever reasons, but luchadors, other than Rey, don't seem to make it. There is just some type of issue getting above a certain level.
I can tell you what that may be. We've talked about that on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Mm-hmm. Penta is the first luchador in a while that doesn't feel like Rey Mysterio cosplay.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I'm going to take heat for this. Dragon Lee feels like Rey Mysterio cosplay. He's awesome in the ring. He, like, move for move, hold for hold, he is. Penta feels fresh. He feels new. He feels different. And that, to me, is important in separating him from Rey Mysterio. When you look at Grand Metalik, you look at Kalisto, you look at even Sin Cara. Yeah. All these guys all felt like Rey Mysterio cosplay.
Penta comes from, or feels like he comes from, that La Parka, L.A. Park style of luchador.
Yes.
I'm bigger, I can fly a bit, but I'm also going to kick your brains out. So I feel you on that. That's the reason why, you know, the only other luchador-esque wrestler who's been successful other than Rey, is only one other one.
Talking about Dragon? Awesome.
No, in WWE.
Oh, in WWE? Why am I not thinking of it?
Hit me with it. Alberto Del Rio.
Yep.
And that's because I can't stand that guy. I can't either, but he's 6'5", 250. He ain't the same luchador as the rest of them.
No, this is true.
Do you have any concerns about Phoenix going forward? Because Phoenix is very much like Ray, just if Ray did steroids and was his mama was like an alien.
To be fair, I've only caught bits and pieces of the Ray Phoenix intro. I haven't watched SmackDown yet, so I don't know. I don't get a good feel for it. What I saw, I liked. We got to see, because I don't want them to put the Lucha Bros back together anytime soon. Penta is on this run. I want Ray Phoenix to be able to establish himself separately from that, and I'm hoping that he can. I think that them being on separate shows is perfect. Mm-hmm. So for me, the jury is still out on Ray Phoenix.
Hey, man, the boy got a superstar entrance. I mean, like,
one of the best
I've ever done. And they, I don't know if this was a Shawn choice or a Triple H choice, but bringing Nathan Frazier up to be his first match.
Brilliant.
We'll talk about Nathan Frazier on the NXT episode. Okay, yes. So I gave you one. You give me another one.
Moving up, I'm going to surprise you a little bit on this one, Lyra Valkyria.
Well, I mean, when you're at the bottom, you can't go nowhere but up, right?
you got to go up.
Okay, so Lyra, I'll give you one that I hope for. I think a massively underrated person on that roster, Grayson Waller. I think that kid has... it. Give me one more, brother, and then we'll go to the down in 6 months.
I hate to copy your homework, but Grayson Waller. I like him. I've liked the guy since NXT.
And I like that they put him and Austin Theory together because both of them needed that. Grayson Waller needed some stability. Austin Theory needed someone who could talk to help get him back to that level. Because Theory's not a bad talker, but Grayson Waller's at the top of the top in the company. All right, if you don't mind, I'll flip it and I'll go down, and this hurts my heart. This has nothing to do with who he is as a person. Has nothing to do with who he is as a wrestler. Father Time is undefeated. Going down in 6 months, I have the big homie Sheamus.
Okay. Going down for me, unfortunately, as much as I hate to say this, unless something changes, Pete Dunne. I hate this because I love Pete Dunne.
Quick tangent, real fast. How do you feel about them putting him back with Tyler Bate and New Catch Republic?
I'm okay with it for right now because it keeps him on TV, because Hunter is absolutely going to try and do something with that. So it keeps him out there. It keeps him in the public eye. So people can see what this guy does. Unfortunately, I'm starting to get the feeling that he's a wrestler's wrestler.
Steve Malenko.
Yep. He's Malenko with a bit more personality.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, though, that when he murders Tyler Bates, it's going to be glorious because you know it's coming.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. I will agree with you. Heel Pete Dunne is much more valuable than babyface Pete Dunne.
Yeah, man. And that's why I was so happy they kind of got back to that. Okay, going down. Hey, Bailey, I want to know if you'll be my girl. Don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I'm gonna go out on a limb here because again, we got to talk about Father Time, Rey Mysterio. I mean, the dude has been turning back the clock for 6 to 8 years. At some point, it's got to catch up with him.
I know Rey Mysterio has a Sting level of ability for his friends to hate him. But man, if you're dragging Lee, Joaquin Wilde, and Cruz del Toro, ain't you sick of this dude? Like, we never wrestle, bro. You on everything.
Yes.
Give me a
to the
break.
Point where they've had to hitch Dragon Lee's wagon to him.
Now, I will say, I personally believe, that we're going to get a Lucha de Apuestas match. For those of you who don't know, that's Mask versus Mask. At WrestleMania, between Rey and El Grande Americano. Now that could be fun, and if anybody should have that the match, the first of that kind in WWE, it should be Ray. But dog, if I'm dragging Lee, I'm just sitting back like, bruh, come on, dog. Like, I didn't even want to be LWO. You forced me to join LWO.
You went in the Hall of Fame 4 fucking years ago, bro. When are you going to step aside and let the other kids eat?
Okay, I'm going to give you 100%. I'm going to give you one more, and this one hurts my heart. But I will tell you, I appreciate it because they're giving him kind of like a beautiful, big farewell story and possible match. The phenomenal AJ Styles, man. I think the writing's on the wall for my boy.
Yeah, and I hate to agree with you, but yeah, AJ Styles, it's on. He's even said he's in the 2-year window now. You know, he's given himself 2 years, and we'll see what happens. So,
all right, DJ. So we've kind of run through this roster as best as we could. I want to finish this episode up on this. Our top five total. Seth Rollins at number 1, Rhea Ripley at number 2, CM Punk at number 3, Gunther at number 4, and Sami Zayn, a.k.a. Sami Uso, at number 5. Is there anybody that you think, scores be damned, should be replaced in the top 5 as most valuable on the roster?
I hate this. When I look at overall media presence, Logan Paul should probably replace either Sami Zayn or Gunther. And that bothers me. That bothers me.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. I'm a big Logan Paul guy, WWE-wise. We all have our misgivings about Logan Paul as a dude.
Yes.
Although, I definitely think he's more redeeming than we give him credit for. Jake is the one that's irredeemable in my eyes. He's just a twat. Logan has redeeming qualities. But as a professional wrestler, sports entertainer, guy that grapples for a living, that dude gets it in a way. Like, he has a Kurt Angle level of, oh, got it, immediately.
He's a savant.
Oh, my God.
He really is. And then it bothers me to hate him as a person, because, and like I said, I may be not giving him the time to mature or shown that he's mature. That may be a me thing, but yeah, when the bell rings, that guy gets every aspect of it.
He does, man. And a guy who literally amassed millions by being a guy on YouTube who had to promote himself, being a guy who's fantastic at promotion, promos, talking, character work, storytelling in terms of him and other people. Yeah, man. And I know he said in his personal life that while it behooves him to work the schedule, he does, because if you can do it, he considers himself a full-time wrestler. Like, this is not some type of summer job or gig he's doing. He's in this for the long haul. That's really true. Get a buddy Keys, man. Like, I'm Logan Paul for World Champ 2026.
I wouldn't argue at it. I really wouldn't.
All right, my man. So I appreciate you jumping on here with me for this. This is the total package Raw results. Once again, number 1, Seth freaking Rollins at a 99.1 average. Rhea Ripley is number 2 with 8.85. CM Punk with the 8.8. A Gunther with the 8.6. Sami Zayn was an 8.55. And the bottom 5 of the top 10, AJ Styles, Chad Gable, Asuka, Logan Paul, and the Hall of Famer, Rey Mysterio. DJ, final thoughts.
I wish I had a better understanding of some of the criteria. When I look at my own numbers, I'm like, yeah, I was a little bit harsh on some of these guys. I think if I had to do this again next year, and like I told you, you asked me again in 6 months, this may change.
Well, we just might do that. In the meantime, that's been the total package. That's the Raw episode. Stay tuned, because I'm sure, I don't know when it's going to come out, but for this Cash Mania week, you will, let's go to the next episode of the total package, where we're going to talk about SmackDown. DJ, you can follow him at Mindless Wrestling Pod. You can follow me at It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y-S and Mysterio, C-A-S-H-S and dollars. We'll see you next time.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
What is going on, good people out there in the wrestling sphere, universe, whatever you want to call it? It's your boy, Rance, a.k.a. Ray Cash, back with my tag team partner for this beautiful endeavor, the man with the million-dollar beard, Guido himself, DJ. We're back with another episode of The Total Package. You kind of popped your proverbial cherry on that first one. How'd it feel talking about Raw?
It was good, man. I had a good time with that. Like I said, looking back at my numbers, I probably would have changed a few things, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, my understanding of the assignment, as it were.
You're the Simon Cowell of the Total Package, basically. What'd you say?
I don't know about all that.
It was dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. So we spoke about Raw, and as you know, going in, Netflix, new deal with Raw, USA, SmackDown, moved to USA. Things have changed a little bit. So with SmackDown being the three-hour show, we are talking about a bigger roster now. So this one should be a little interesting because we have a lot more people to talk about. And I'd argue a much better women's roster. So, Just like we started with the last episode, we're going to go over the top 10 before we get into some of the minutiae of the specifics. Coming in at number 10 for the top 10 total package wrestlers on SmackDown is Damian Priest with a total average of 8.05. Chelsea Green comes in at number 9, your United States Women's Champion, at a total 8.1. Naomi wants you to proceed with caution as she gets an 8.15. Kevin Owens, by the way, I'm sure me and you will give some well wishes to my man after this past week on SmackDown, comes in at number 7 with an 8.3. Randy Orton is just outside the top 5 with the 8.55. But you're a top 5. Rob Bonnet's favorite wrestler of all time, the Queen, Charlotte Flair, at number 5 with a total average of 8.65. Drew McIntyre, probably a guy who's been a made man but had a glow up, unlike all glow ups this year, number 4 with 8.7. A bit of a shocker here. The Tribal Chief is number 3. Roman Reigns is an 8.8 average, supplanted by the man who supplanted him on the call sheet. Cody Rhodes, your WWE champion, is number 2 with the 8.9. And number 1, and I want to start with her as we get to this conversation, is possibly the biggest, best, most over wrestler on the entire roster, Bianca Belair. DJ, let's get into her right now, because I think Bianca is an amazing kind of case study when it comes to professional wrestling, because this WrestleMania is going to be the 5th anniversary of her being called up to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
We have watched her for so long and excel at so many things and be champion for so long that to think she's only been doing it for 5 years on the main roster is crazy. But her WrestleMania resume, her debut, 37 versus Sasha Banks, main event, world title. 38 in Dallas against Becky Lynch, world title. 39 in LA against Asuka, world title. 40, the big three. Big moment for black women and what they want to do with Jay Cargill's debut and Naomi's coming back, her return. And this year, it's going to be Triple Threat, her, Io, and Rhea Ripley, which is her doppelganger in professional wrestling. You gave her a total 84, I gave her a total 96, but both of us have her, I believe, yeah, just individual scores, you have her as your top wrestler. Talk to me about why she is the top in the game, in both of our, in your opinion, but both of ours.
She is, quite frankly, the single greatest talent WWE has hired since Kurt Angle. She really is. And I know we talked in, and I say that without hyperbole. I know we talked about Logan Paul in the last episode and how you likened him to Kurt Angle and how quickly he picked this up. You look at Bianca Belair, who really, by her own admission, was not a big fan. Like, she wasn't, the IWC loves this. She didn't, quote unquote, grow up loving this and grow up wanting to do this. She came from a track background.
Yep.
You know, she was a Division I athlete. She was amazing, had an entirely other path carved out for her. Mark Henry deserves a second Hall of Fame nod just for finding her.
Yeah.
Just for finding her. And I say that without hyperbole. She checks off all the boxes. And I know I didn't give her any 10s. And like I said, I was very, very thin on my 10s that I gave. I think when her career is all said and done, a lot of my numbers will be 10s more across the board because she simply is that good.
Man, I don't think I've heard a hot take like you just said, that the single greatest signing since Kurt Angle.
I fully believe that.
Dog, Roman Reigns has been signed at that time. I'm talking just homegrown wrestlers. Roman Reigns, Charlotte Flair, Bray Wyatt, Big E. There's, my goodness, there's so many other people that you could probably think of just speaking from a homegrown perspective. I don't know.
Some of those people had wrestling in the blood. Charlotte Flair, Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt. These guys were all born into the business.
Good point.
Bianca Belair didn't come from that. She didn't have a family. And I'm not dogging on people who got into the business through nepotism, because that's a whole episode I could have on that, especially after, you know, what happened Friday night on SmackDown. But for Bianca to come in this with nothing, like Kurt Angle didn't even like pro wrestling. Kurt Angle came from the wrestling that dogs on pro wrestling. Okay. Because I did amateur wrestling in high school and they used to laugh at me for liking the pro wrestling fake shit. Okay. Kurt Angle came from that background. Bianca came from a similar type of background.
Yeah.
You know, so that's when I say that, that's what I mean. When I say homegrown, that's what I mean, because the rest of them, a lot of those other guys you mentioned, again, they had other paths. Roman was, you know, headed towards pro football. Bray was, I think, on a similar path. But Bianca wasn't on that path. It wasn't even on her radar.
That's a great point. And, you know, when you think about it from that perspective, I don't think you're wrong at all. I think you're spot on. In fact, Kurt famously told Vince McMahon that if he signed with WWE, you know, he said, I can't lose, right? I have to win every match.
He told that to Jim Ross.
And they were like, all right, well, you can go. I'll see you later. Appreciate it.
Yep.
And then when he decided to sign a year later, they gave him a developmental deal.
You to Ohio Valley, you go.
Yes. Okay, so we're talking about a homegrown wrestler, one that was completely away from the sport and had to find it and fall in love with it and get good at it. Well, there's another person on that roster, on this roster, that's similar to that. You alluded to her with the controversial segment on SmackDown this week, talking about your WWE Women's Champion, Tiffany Stratton. You gave Tiffany a 7. I gave Tiffany a 7.9. We both had her not horrifically low, but nowhere close to the top 10. And I want to see, just from your thought process, what do you think about Tiffany as a wrestler, as a champion? Do you think she's peaked? How do you think the face turn has gone?
I think the face turn was inevitable. She's really good in the ring. Like, again, she's taken to this like a fish does to water. She really has. I ranked her a little low in the in-ring ability. I gave her a 7. I probably could have given her an 8. The finishing move, the prettiest moonsault, I gave her an 8. Where she takes a hit for me, and this was evident Friday night, and this I'm about to drop some controversy on you guys. She's not great on the mic.
Oh, yeah.
She's not.
Not at all. Yep.
And that showed Friday night when instead of trying to build the story, she went right for a personal dig. Like, yeah, Charlotte cooked her on the mic 2 weeks ago. Charlotte is a 12-year veteran of this, okay? She's going to go out there, and Charlotte is going to try and sell this match any way she can. She's the heel. And a lot of people on the internet took the promo from 2 weeks ago as Charlotte didn't give Tiffany any way in. And I don't know what happened this week, if this was a shoot, if this was a work, whatever the case may have been. Tiffany took the low road, went for a low blow on Charlotte's personal life, which she has made clear is off limits on TV. And so to me, if you can't, and some of this is inexperience. Again, we got to remember Tiffany's only been doing this 3 years tops. So, and I'm not sure how much promo time she really got down in NXT. She's trying to go face to face with a 12-year veteran and, quite frankly, one of the best in the business. So do I think, the biggest problem is Tiffany wasn't ready for this spot. I think she's an incredible talent. I think she's got a bright, bright future. I don't think she was ready for what's been laid in front of her right now.
So I have, I'm not too far off from where you are, but I have some differing opinions. Number one, Charlotte to me reminds me a lot of John Cena on the mic, in the sense that she's going to take every liberty she can, go against everything she's told, just to do something to get a rise out of you to see if you could step up. They're the only two in the company that do that, right? I mean, Punk does too, but Punk usually will stay within the script, or at least the idea of what they're supposed to be talking about, right? If there is a personal shot he throws at it, it's because he knows it works under the guise of the story.
Yeah.
But Charlotte does that, and while Cena does it in a way where he almost essentially, and I hate this word, but for the purposes of the conversation, buries you while you're talking. I hate that damn word, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Charlotte
right.
does it in a way where she doesn't even let you say anything. She overtalks you. She kind of backs you in the corner to where I think, my opinion only, she purposely tries to make you look bad to make herself look better. Everything Cena does, even though it is tantamount to burial, is to make you step up, and it gives you an opportunity to retort.
Okay, let me counter that. Do you think with Cena, we're talking about a 20-something-year-old veteran who has perfected that art?
Yeah.
Whereas Charlotte is still, where even though, like I said, it's been 12 years, maybe she hasn't perfected that. And I'll ask you another question. Would we be having this conversation if she were Ashley from the Street and not Ashley Flair?
That's such a
because
hard thing.
I think she gets a lot of unnecessary criticism because yeah. She's Ric Flair's daughter.
That's unquestionable. 100% she does. Here's the thing that hurts Charlotte more than anything to me. I don't think Ashley Flair is a likable person. That's not saying okay. That she could be amazing. I'm sure if I met her, I'd love her. I'm just talking the way she's been portrayed in media and outside. She doesn't come off as a likable person to me. So the fans take to that. And notice, on top of that, the old adage, LOL Charlotte wins. You know, me and you been in this long enough to know who gives a fuck about that. It's wrestling.
Right.
One person picks and chooses who wins, so who gives a damn? But it is uncomfortable as in the audience, as someone who's watching, to know that for SmackDown's 3 hours, one 15-minute segment of the show, Charlotte Flair is going to be involved in the top story or the top match for the women's division or the top title, even if it's not even deserved on screen, just because she's Charlotte. So comparing that to the situation with Tiffany, and Tiffany was dead wrong. I'm not sticking up for Tiffany in any sense of the word in this conversation. I'm just saying I understand why a young talent would think I need to hit her with this haymaker, because like Charlotte did it to Becky. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like Becky was at the top of the company and her best friend, and she still was like, I'm going to bury you and take over this promo, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get all the eyes on me instead of the eyes on the story. And so you could be right. It could just be more growth. But if you're not good at it, don't do it.
Okay.
Now, with all that being said, everything you said about Tiffany, 1,000,000% correct. I don't know that she wasn't ready for the spot, but she definitely wasn't ready to go verbal one-on-one with her at all.
Nah. Yeah.
Don't put her in that position. You should have any with this match, particularly with the person who is as controversial and as strong-minded as Charlotte, you need to have a script top to bottom. Charlotte says, blah, 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 blah. Tiffany says, blah, 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 blah. To throw her out there without a life raft and then be upset because she did something she shouldn't have done, it's bad business to me, man. But she's not very good on the mic in general. That's what I'm thinking. I know we went a little left on that. I apologize for that. Anything jump on your mind that's interesting to you with the choices either you or I made? Because I see a few. You gave Solo Sikoa a very, very low score. I found that interesting. Braun Strowman also got a very low score, which I can... You want to have a conversation, I get it.
Yeah, Braun Strowman, unfortunately, I think his body is giving out on him. You watch that dude move. Like you said on the first episode, a lot of these were difficult for me because I'm big, big fans of a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to go personal biased alone, I probably have very few people in the low 70s. Like, but I tried not to approach it that way. Solo Sikoa is, I'm still waiting for Solo to win me over. I feel like he's, especially now that Jacob's there, like all of a sudden Solo just fell way to the back of the list for me because Jacob has my attention, and Jacob, I ranked quite a bit higher. Another one for me, and this one again was me putting personal bias completely aside, bell to bell and even character work, Tommaso Ciampa is one of my top five favorite wrestlers in WWE altogether. I'm a big Tommaso Ciampa fan, but I tried to approach this from a general public. How does the general public view Tommaso Ciampa? And unfortunately, I think at least for now, that's low. Or lower than what it would be if I were just going on my personal bias.
Well, I alluded to this last week, last episode, because I didn't include traditionally tag team wrestlers. So like Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin on here, they're tag guys.
Right.
But I put DIY and I put the Profits. We'll talk about the Profits next on here, because DIY specifically, both of those guys as singles have both been the faces of a brand.
Yes.
We know who they are as singles. And if you had a 6-month run to the world championship for either one of the two, nobody would be shocked, because we've seen it. We know what they can do. So with that being said, I agree with you on both counts with both Ciampa and Gargano, in that while being a tag team keeps them on TV, it keeps them relevant, and they can still do great work, it makes them look weak individually, because I'm with you. The way you gave Ciampa a 7 in look, I gave him an 8 in look. You gave him a 7 in character ability. I gave him a 9 only because Ciampa is the greatest heel I may have seen this generation, and also plays a very convincing great babyface.
I didn't take his NXT work into consideration. When I judged Ciampa, went strictly on, if I had gone back to NXT, which I probably should have done, he ranks much higher because he was the best heel in NXT at the time.
Yeah. You're right. And honestly, I'm off because I should have just done SmackDown. But they talk about bias. I love Ciampa.
Yeah.
And I'll just let it completely changed my train of thought. But we're very similar on in our ideals for those two together as a tandem. Their stock is higher, but I think individually, it kind of dwindles.
It does.
So speaking of tag teams, the other tag team I included that's a traditional tag team on this list was the Street Profits, and I included them for one particular reason. Everybody and they mama swears up and down, me included, Montez Ford is going to be a superstar. I'm talking like the next great WWE homegrown talent main eventer guy. I see it. I believe it. But do the numbers show it? And you gave Dawkins a 74, 7.4 average. You gave Ford a 7.8 average. Whereas I gave Dawkins, just like you, a 7.4 average, but I gave Montez Ford an 8.3. So talk to me what you think about those scores and the difference between the two and what this could possibly mean for a guy like Montez.
I think this, when I look at the Street Profits, I'm going to mirror exactly what you said about DIY. I think for me, them being a tandem brings down their individual work, because I think if Montez Ford went on a singles run, he would rank higher. Or not Montez, but Dawkins. Angelo Dawkins went on a singles run for like 6 months to a year. He automatically ranks higher than I gave him. Same thing with Montez. I think Montez is incredible. I'm looking at some of my numbers now. Microphone work, I gave him a 7. I only do that because they're sharing mic time. Yeah. I think if Montez Ford had to go it on his own, I think he's getting a higher score. You know, on my end, in ring work, same thing. They're sharing in ring duties. I think Montez is incredible. I don't get to see everything he does because he's doing work in a tag team. So that's, and the other one was psychology. It's hard to judge it, because I looked at these because we broke this up as individual wrestlers, not tag teams. If you give me tag team psychology, the Street Profits are a 9, a solid 9. But individually, because I have not gotten to see that play out in real time, he gets a 7 on psychology, which I think hurt both of their scores. Let me find Dawkins. Where's he at here? What did I give him for psychology? I can't even find him on my 6. Yep. Okay, again, because I don't get to see Angelo Dawkins in singles matches very often. So I can't. A lot of my low judgments were because I can't really make a judgment. And I didn't want to be unfair and say, you know what, I don't know, so I'm just going to give it a 2, because that's horseshit.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I mean, clearly me and you agree on Dawkins perfectly, because we both gave him a 7.4. I am a bit annoyed with this adage, though, that Dawkins is holding Tez back, because I think Dawkins has shown such a level of growth in the past 2 years.
Yes. That,
man, that dude will be a baller.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. You give him the ball. I'm not saying he has. Anybody can look at Montez and see that, man. Roman Reigns versus Montez Ford, main event of WrestleMania. Like, you can see it. I'm not saying Dawkins has that kind of potential. But the boy got a 12-year, 15-year run at him as a singles guy, if you want it.
I don't disagree.
All right, brother, let's pivot here for a minute. And I want you, let's go through some of the people that we were a bit surprised and where they came out with, whether they were a little higher or lower than we expected. I'll go first. I think I personally, let me think of one here. I am a bit surprised. I feel good about all my votes. I will tell you this. Here's one that's interesting to me. LA Knight is an 8.2. I know you've been critical of LA Knight.
Yeah.
You have him at what, a 7.7?
I believe so. Let me see. SmackDown, DJ, where are we at? LA Knight. Yep, 7.3. Or 7. Sorry.
So this is a guy that gets some of the biggest pops every night.
Yeah.
Looking back at it, before you started the list, did you expect him to be higher?
I think he leveled out about where he needs to. For when I look at, when I compare him to the other names on the list, he probably could have made the top 10, but I don't know that there's, when I'm looking at the top 10 of all of us, I can't say that, because again, I'm looking at longevity. Some of what I looked at was longevity. And I think, you know, him being in his early mid 40s, he's probably got a smaller window than, say, a Damian Priest, definitely a Naomi, a Drew McIntyre.
Well, you mentioned Damian Priest. You gave him an 8.4, a 7.4. So what was your thought process in making Damian Priest lower than Montez and LA Knight?
I think LA Knight smokes people in the promo work. Like, I think that really that really beefed his score up was the promo work. What was the other one? In-ring ability, he took a hit there. I think LA Knight is fair enough in the ring. I think media presence, he does quite a bit on social media, so he's present there and moving things forward. With Montez Ford, I rated them about the same on media work, so I can't really say anything there. And again, psychology, he gets a bit of a leg up on those guys because, again, he's a singles wrestler. So sure. I get to see his in-ring psychology. So some of that is just, you know, the where I see him versus, you know.
No, I understand.
Could be.
Now, this is a guy that was World Heavyweight Champion. This is a guy that main evented multiple PLEs. This is a guy that has a marquee match at WrestleMania. Yeah. What's that?
I'm looking at my Damian Priest numbers. Damian Priest, some of it he lost on versatility with me. I think Damian Priest works well with a certain number of guys. Other guys he doesn't work as well with. Microphone work, Damian Priest is fine on the mic. In ring, again, I think he's fine. I think he ranked a little bit higher than LA Knight. Ranked a little less on character ability. I think LA Knight's ability to get his character over is a little bit stronger than Damian Priest's.
I agree, although I do think singles Damian Priest kind of embracing his New York City roots has been a much, much better. Damian's traditionally loved, even back when he was Punishment Martinez, loved to play with that kind of occultish, dark character.
And I dig that.
And yeah, it's cool, but man, the most over he's been, in my opinion, when he was just being old boy from the block.
Yep. And gun to my head, if you had to ask me which one is overall my favorite wrestler, I'm going to tell you it's Damian Priest.
Yeah.
But again, if I'm looking at things objectively as a WWE Universe fan and not DJ in my house fan, I think LA Knight right now is probably, I think that's why he's a little bit higher.
Well, hey man. I'm not mad at that. LA Knight definitely has earned a lot of the pops and a lot of the respect he's gotten over the past couple years. So let's play our game we played last week, or last episode. Let's go 6 months from now. Let's pick three that we think will be higher, three that we think will be lower. And like last time, I'm going to start with you first, man. Who do you forecast 6 months down the line being higher than the scores we gave?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say B-Fab.
I love that, DJ. I love that. That girl wants it bad.
You may not see it as the casual, but me looking at it from inside eyes, B-Fab is showing me something. She's showing growth, and she's showing potential. And like you said, she has the desire to do it. And I'm so glad she's getting the second opportunity.
Me too, man. Me too. And I'm glad that they kept her off TV and the way for as long as they did to let her really get to a point where she felt comfortable. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Going forward, I know this is a cop out, but dog, Jacob Fatu is going to take over the world. He is going to take over the world, and he already got about 20 kids. He's going to feed families, bro. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with a little bit of bias here only because I'm hopeful Tommaso Ciampa's going up in the next 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so, too. I love that dude, man. I love that dude. So I'll go with one that I'm very biased on. Probably one of the staples of the women's division that never got her due and has made a fantastic heel turn is finally people starting to pay attention. She's going to break out. How you break out in year 12, I don't know, but she's going to break out. I see Naomi going much higher.
Well, she's already at number 8, 9. No, she's 10. She made 10.
Yeah, she's going to kill it, man. She's killing it now. She's only going to get better.
Yep, right, absolutely.
Give me one more, brother.
Who do I think? Again, this is wishful thinking on my part. Carmelo Hayes. I've been following Carmelo since his NXT days. He's always a treat. I've been rooting for that guy, and I know the writing was on the wall with him and Trick as soon as Trick started to break out. But I'm still hopeful that they're going to find a lane for Carmelo Hayes because that dude, if you had to ask me top five wrestlers, like bell-to-bell wrestlers in the world, I'm going to tell you Carmelo Hayes is in the conversation.
You took my pick. I'm looking over the paper and stealing off your page. I'm right there with Carmelo. The talk about a guy. The only thing that he has against him is he's 5'10".
Yeah. Yeah, he's not a tall dude.
If that dude with his charisma, his ability, his look, his music, gimmick, the barbershop, all of that stuff, the basketball analogies, if he was 6'3", he'd be world champion.
Yep. To this day, the best hold-for-hold bell-to-bell wrestling match I've seen was between him and Axiom about a year and a half ago at an NXT house show. Those dudes had no business putting on that kind of a match in front of 300 people in Melbourne, Florida. And they blew my fucking mind.
Talk about an underrated talent, Axiom. Oh,
yeah.
We'll get with him in the next episode on NXT. All right, I'm going to go first on this one when we're going down in 6 months. And I'm going to pick, I think, the most obvious wrestler in the company to go down. Nothing against him. I love him. I think he's amazing. But I think Shinsuke Nakamura is gearing up for the retirement phase of his career.
You took my first one, man. And for all, that's absolutely it. He's winding down. Shinsuke is.
Yeah, it hurts my heart. Hurts my heart.
My okay, too.
So I got to pick a second. You know what? Hey, man, let's go controversial. Not controversial. This one's not controversial. I'll go controversial with my last one. The second one, I think people will disagree with me, though. But I'm going to go a guy who I think is really good. Plays his role fantastically, but is about to get overshadowed by a lot of other people in the same situation. I think the next 6 months for Santos Escobar are going to be rough. Andrade taking his boys. He's going to be feuding with Andrade, then probably going to get the Rey Fénix feud. It don't look good for my boy Santos.
It does not. He was another one that I was, when we were getting into this, I was looking at the list. I won't steal your homework, though. Not on this one. You know, Shinsuke, I think that's undeniable. But with this one, I won't steal your homework. Let's see. Going down in the next 3 months. Boy, this is tough. If he doesn't find something as low as he was, I'm going to say Solo.
Yeah, man. You know
me. If he doesn't find something, man.
Me and you were just off on that one, bro. Like, a lot of these, even though I disagree with your rankings, I see your point. I don't see your point with Solo, man. I just think Solo is doing the most selfless thing you could do as a wrestler, and that's him and the company are nerfing him to give Jacob this mass monster push. Because, pardon the pun, but Jacob's final boss he has to get past is eventually a Solo.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. I hope you're sitting down. You are, clearly. I'm watching you on screen. But my number three is going to be super controversial. And I hate myself for even saying it, but just hear me out. Number three is going to be Bianca Belair.
Okay.
I have not one negative thing to say about her. I think she is the most amazing person with the most amazing accolades, with the most amazing whatever you can say about her. But the crowd is starting to tire of the same old babyface shtick. European crowds started booing her. That could be for other reasons. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah. There's a reason there.
But I understand Bianca as a character. Yes, she's had little traits about her that's changed. But her ultimate character has been the exact same since she started. And Bayley had to go through it. I think Bianca's going to need to turn heel in the next 6 to 12 months. And they're not going to want her to because she's Jane Cena. And I think there's going to be a little fan backlash. Not much, but enough that it's noticeable. And I think it's going to hurt her. So I'm going to go with Bianca.
Okay. All right. God, this is tough because there's a lot of really good. Again, I don't want what I'm about to say to be a reflection of whether or not I'm a fan of this person because it's not the case. We had The Miz at number 15. I'm going to say Miz drops off. I think Miz is another one of those guys that's going to start slowing down in the next couple of years. I mean, right now they've got him teamed up with Carmelo Hayes,
yep.
Which I think is great for Carmelo.
Yep.
But I think as we move further along, again, we're talking about a guy in his 40s and who has been to the top, been back down to the bottom, and been back up to the top again multiple times. I think if I had to look at anybody on this list and pick somebody out of the box, it'd be The Miz.
Fair enough. I understand that. And yeah, the fact that Miz is still here 20 years later, kicking it and on TV every week.
Yep.
That man winning in life, bro. That man is winning. Okay. So let's get out of here on this one, DJ. Like we did last episode. Our top five, Bianca Belair at number one, Cody Rhodes at number two, your tribal chief and mine, Roman Reigns at number three, Drew McIntyre at number four, and the queen herself, Charlotte Flair at number five. Looking at this list, our total list, is there anybody that you think, if you were WWE and you were to look at this and say that the most valuable five people on this roster, of the five we have listed, is there anybody that you see that's on this list that should be on that that's not?
I mean, on the top five?
On your top five.
Whew.
Because I could make an argument. I think the five is perfect. But, dog, the fact that Randy Orton's on the outside looking in is rough. Because that man is royalty of the WWE.
Yeah. Now,
the only person you can replace him with is Drew. But Drew just had one of the best years ever.
Yeah.
So
I think looking at this list and when I'm looking at their value in WWE currently, and I'm taking time off for injuries and things like that, because that's where, for me, Charlotte and Randy kind of have a bit of a negative is because they did have so much time off for injury. Now, when they come back, they're super important, but yeah. I think you lose a little bit of face value with the injuries. It, gun to my head, I'd swap Chelsea Green for Charlotte Flair.
Okay, so why Chelsea over Jade? Because I love your thought process. And I think Chelsea is tailor-made for a project like this because she is great at everything.
Yeah. I think Jade is still untested water. We're still seeing what she can do. Chelsea Green is a time-tested veteran who is at the peak of her game right now. Jade's still on the ascent. Jade's going to get there, and I have full faith that Jade Cargill is going to be just fine. And a year from now, we may be having a much different discussion. But when I look at the value to the company and the work they're putting in, it's Chelsea Green.
Hey, man, I ain't mad at that. I don't disagree one bit. I'm anticipating getting an angry call from Rob that we both consider getting Charlotte Flair out the top five. But no, I'm with you completely. So once again, good people, your number one wrestler on the SmackDown roster, according to us in our total package, is Bianca Belair at an average of 9. Cody Rhodes, your WWE champion, is number 2 with an 8.9. Your tribal chief and mine, the head of the table, Roman Reigns, is an 8.8 at number 3. Drew McIntyre and his eye patch are number 4 with 8.7.
Real glass.
How hilarious that Punk tried to tell the kid, don't do that because something bad could happen. And in the safer spot, he really got glass in his eye.
That's incredible.
Maybe you can understand what your boy was trying to tell you, Jack. Maybe you can see it. Oh, number 5 is the Queen, Charlotte Flair, with the 8.65. Number 6 is the Viper, Randy Orton, with the 8.55. Kevin Owens at number 7. Yeah, with 8.3. Naomi, number 8, with 8.15. Chelsea Green with the 8.1 at number 9. And Damian Priest brings in the top 10 with the 8.05, tied with Montez Ford, who also has the same score. Before we get out of here, DJ, I think we should say some well wishes and some great vibes. Send them to our good friend Kevin Owens, legendary man. Kevin Owens announced on this past episode of SmackDown, depending on when so 2 weeks ago from when you guys are hearing this, that he needs neck surgery. And it's bad enough that he can't get through 2 weeks to get to WrestleMania. He has to go ahead and get it now. Devastating. Gut-wrenching. Heartbreaking. Kevin and Randy really truly have a very, very close personal friendship and wanted this match very, very badly. And the fact that they're not going to be able to get it, I'm sure it's heartbreaking to both of them, particularly Kevin. And one thing about Kevin that I read this somewhere today on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, that this is the only dude who was an indie god, walked out to indies, immediately dominated developmental to the point where they moved him up so fast, and from the day one he jumped on the main roster, has been dominating. Only person I think you can compare to is Seth, because Seth was in FCW for so long. Your boy KO was down there for 3 months, and he was
deuced. Yeah.
But yeah, man, the dude is main evented WrestleMania with Stone Cold. Main event of WrestleMania as a tag team for the tag titles with Sammy versus the Usos. Opened the show. Had an underrated match with the great storyline with Jericho and the Festival of Friendship. Him and Sami Zayn probably have a top 5 all-time rivalry up there with Shawn and Bret and Michael and Rock and Austin. Dusty and Rick. Sammy and Kevin are up there. I mean, the homie Myth at Myth Gifts wrote a book about the 20-year rivalry. I wanted to show some love to the guy because I know he doesn't get the flowers he deserves. So, as a guy who did this for a living, go ahead and give some thoughts on Kevin Owens' situation.
Kevin Owens is one of my top 3 guys of the last 10 years, without question. Since he was in NXT, I'm like, this guy has something. And in my head, in my heart, even though he's only been like a main champion for like a short period of time, Kevin Owens has always been a top guy. Mm-hmm. I love his dedication to it. I love his toughness, his grit. The guy just nails everything. Every single time they give him something to do, he knocks it out of the park. You can tell he's gutted by this particular set of circumstances. And again, we talk about age, the window for him and Randy Orton to have a match like this of this importance is very, very narrow. And it just got even more narrow. They had the potential to steal the show at WrestleMania weekend. And now they don't get to do that. And that, I'm gutted for both guys, not only for them personally, but for me as a fan.
Yeah, man. Kevin, I know you're not going to listen to this, but in the off chance you do, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Hey, man, don't just go get healthy. Take some time off. Enjoy your beautiful kids and your beautiful wife. We'll be here when you're ready to come back. And when you do, that crowd's going to go banana pancake.
He can't come back as a heel.
No, yeah.
It ain't happening. The crowd won't take it.
This is Triple H in the Garden type level, I think.
Yep.
Come back. With that being said, my boy, any last thoughts before we get out of here?
No, man. I mean, I'm glad you're doing this thing the week of WrestleMania. I think we're heading into one hell of a week, one hell of a weekend, and I'm looking forward to hearing everybody's responses to this particular series that you and I are doing.
I appreciate you, man. Let me, go ahead and do a little bit of some promotion. Yes, the Total Package series, all four episodes will be the week of WrestleMania. It's something we're calling Cashamania. You're going to have Ray Cash almost every day that week going into WrestleMania. You have me and Mags bringing back Badlands, talking about the best and worst WrestleMania main events. You have me, Rob Bennett, the legendary Kenny Killer, and the infamous Chris Platt talking the state of black wrestling. Of course, myself and the beautiful bearded one himself, DJ, giving you four episodes of the Total Package. You have me and Big Dave Ungar doing an Attitude of Aggression podcast, doing our own Hall of Fame induction here at the Chair Shot. You have me and my good friends from Social Suplex, the Scots, the funniest dudes on podcasting, Ricky and Clive, returning with your boy to talk NXT TakeOver. And of course, who would I be if I didn't bring back my show and my brothers, Carl and Kyle, Outsider's Edge, doing a Mania preview. We back, we taking over, running this thing for a week, trying to give you the soundtrack to your WrestleMania week. We hope you enjoy it. Of course, DJ, you can follow you at?
You can follow me at The Mindless Pod on the app formerly known as Twitter. And I don't want to steal your thunder if you were going to do this, but I want to invite everybody to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options that are available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcasts. Go check one out. Go pick one up. Pick one up. The starving artist on these shows will thank you. Your bodies will thank you if you spend a couple dollars more and pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Look at the boy like he's done this before. Look at him. By the way, there is a Mindless Wrestling podcast shirt on there. Go get that. And, you know, we don't talk about it enough, but hashtag journalism is an Outsider's Edge shirt. So, you know, support your show, support your boys, support your favorites, because we're giving you all this good content. We love it. We love doing it for you guys. You got two more episodes with me and my boy DJ. We're going to break down NXT, and then we're going to come at you with the top 10 of WWE in totality. That one should be a fun show. Until then, we will see you on the other side.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.